today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, commencing with the 31st verse. We find Christ speaking here of his coming the second time to this world. He says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory with all his holy angels, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And all nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them as a shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left." We have here then mention made of Christ coming in his glory. Christ came at one time into this world, and there was no glory to be seen when he entered into this world. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born in a manger. He was born in a very lowly state. But God seen to it that some of the glory of Christ was revealed even when he was born. For God made it known unto the shepherds by angels coming down and singing that wonderful song. He likewise made it known unto the wise men by a star, and they followed it to the place where Christ was born. This glory spoken of in this text is very applicable to the God of all glory. God created this world. He shone forth in the creation. Likewise, in the creation of man, his glory is seen. For man was created in the image of God, and the glory of God was upon him. And the glory of God was revealed in choosing the Israelites of old, in leading them as a separate people through the wilderness. He went before them in the daytime with a cloud, and at nighttime with a pillar of fire. The glory of God was seen by these people. He manifested himself upon Mount Sinai, coming down in his glory and giving unto them his holy law. His glory was seen in the tabernacle. His glory was seen in the temple when Solomon dedicated, and the priests had to go out because they could not minister, because the glory of God had descended into this glorious edifice. And the glory of God is seen likewise in the firmament. The heavens show forth the glory of God. We find likewise Christ, when he was here upon earth, showed forth his wonderful glory in the many miracles and wonders that he performed, which proved that he was God and man in one person. And when he came and was born, then he came in a very lowly and a humble state. He was clothed with humanity, and his glory was veiled. There was only one time that he manifested his glory when he was here upon earth, and that was when he took his three disciples up on the mount. And there we find that his raiment became white and glistening, and his face did shine as the sun. Some of his glory was seen when they seen Moses and Elias speaking unto him. They heard God the Father speaking from heaven on that glorious place, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All this glory of Christ was given unto him when he ascended up on high and he returned back to his heavenly Father. Then he was crowned, exalted with all glory and honor and majesty. But here in our lesson today, we have him coming the second time into this world. And when he would come with his holy angels, and he would sit upon the throne of his glory. All this coming of Christ is sure, it's positive. There is no question and no doubt about it. The Bible is full of this second coming of Christ to judge the world in righteousness. Our own conscience is a witness to this fact that he is coming. The justice of God demands that he should come and that he should judge the world in righteousness. The resurrection of Christ proves it without a word of doubt that he's coming again to judge the world. Here we have him speaking of his second coming. He hasn't come yet. We know not the day nor the hour when he will come. He himself has said, no man knows this day or hour, not even himself. But we have one certain sign given unto us in the Bible that he is coming. And this sign is, when iniquity aboundeth, we may expect that he's coming. He came when iniquity aboundeth, before the flood. Then he came with that terrible flood and swept every person from off the earth. He came when Sodom and Gomorrah was so filled with that sin of sodomy that he could bear with it no longer. And then he came and destroyed these cities of the plain. This is a sign, my hearers. And the Bible teaches us that perilous time shall come, and iniquity shall abound. And we are living in those times, believe me. And yous that know the things that are going on in this world will agree with me that iniquity aboundeth at the present time. All the sounds of the feet of this blessed Jesus is in these things that we see taking place round about us in the world today. He is coming then with all his holy angels. Angels are glorious creatures. They are ministering spirits sent out to the help and to the benefit of those that shall obtain salvation. Angels have come into this lower world, and they have done wonderful things. They are mighty, they are powerful by God. They have destroyed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Angels have come and declared the counsel and the will of God. An angel came to Mary and made known unto her that she would give birth unto that blessed and dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Angels likewise came and sang unto the shepherds when he was born. And we find that angels ministered unto Christ after he had been 40 days in the wilderness tempted of Satan. And then we read likewise that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and had been wrestling there with his Father in prayer, and his sweat had become great drops of blood, then after this, angels came and ministered to him. And we read likewise when they wanted to take him prisoner. And then we find that Peter, he took a hold of his sword and he cut off the high priest ear, servant of the high priest ear. And Jesus rebuked him and said, put up thy sword, for they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Could I not even at this present moment pray unto my Father, and he would immediately send me 12 legions of angels? A legion in the time of Christ was 6,200 soldiers. Imagine if Christ had called upon his Father to send 12 legions of angels. There would have been in the multitude of about 74,000 angels. By this I want to teach you how many there are, how great they are, how numerous they are. And that when Christ is coming upon the clouds of the sky to judge this world, he will have a glorious retinue of angels. Glorious will he come. Oh, when he shall come in his glory by hearers, then every eye shall see him. Yes, your eyes and my eyes, every one of us shall see this glorious Christ appearing upon the clouds as his chariot, riding upon a glorious throne. And we find Daniel speaking of him and saying, when all the thrones were cast down, then he seen the Ancient of Days coming down, and he sat upon his throne, and the judgment was set. Oh, my hearers, this blessed Jesus then, who came in such a lowly and a humble way, is going to come as a judge. He's coming as a glorious king. Oh, what a day that will be, my hearers. Then these Jewish people that rejected him, that would not receive him, that made him out likewise for an impostor, that spake against him and reviled him, yea, that called him a friend of publicans and of harlots, yea, that even went that far they called him a devil. All these Jewish people, they who took him with wicked hands and hung him on the accursed tree, they will see this king. Oh, what a thing that will be for these Jewish people who rejected him, who despised him. Oh, they will see him, not as he was when he was before Pilate, all covered with blood. Oh, no, they will see him as this glorious majesty filled with power, and all he is coming to judge them. Then we will find Pilate likewise, this judge, who knew that he was innocent, but who gave way to the people, he will stand before his judgment seat. Yea, all rulers of the universe will stand before him. My text says, all nations shall be gathered before him. Oh, my hearers, when I started to contemplate this, I was lost. It's beyond my comprehension. All nations, every person that ever lived upon this globe will be brought back and will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you fathom this? It's impossible for me and you to fathom this. We must believe it. There's nothing impossible for God. When you stop to contemplate and meditate upon all the millions of people that ever have lived here, they all have died and have perished. Oh, many of them, my hearers, they have lost their lives in the sea. And we read the sea gave up its dead, and death and hell gave up its dead that was in it. Oh, my hearers, how many poor people have been devoured by animals. They have been consumed. They have been likewise eaten by fishes in the sea. How would you explain this, that all these people are going to come back again? If we did not believe that God was able to do this, then we would shrug our shoulders and say, no, that's an impossibility. But it's possible with God. For God is going to bring every person back, young and old, great and small. They all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You and I, my hearers, we shall be there too. Oh, what a gathering that will be. All nations shall be gathered before him. And he shall separate them, as a shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. Oh, this great and glorious Jesus, this judge of all the earth, he shall separate these nations. When you consider how many millions and millions and millions of people have lived here, then you can understand a little that this judgment is going to take a long time. If you and I, we have to appear before him. We have to give an account of what we have done. And all people have to do so. It's a clear fact that it's not going to take just one day. But one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. How long this is going to take, we cannot fathom. But it's going to take a long time. And now, he shall judge them. He shall separate them. Oh, my hearers. And he knows every person. He was a shepherd himself, and he was given these sheep in eternity. Before the world ever was created, before any person ever lived, God in his infathomable love chose a people in Christ Jesus. They then already were separated in eternity before anything ever was here. They were separated by God. They were the people that he loved. They were the people that were going to be saved. These sheep then, they are known by Christ. They came into this world, and then in the course of their lifetime, God came to them and separated them. He came with his Holy Spirit. He took possession of them. He convicted them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He opened the way for them in the person of his dear son, Jesus. All in him alone there was salvation for their poor and mortal souls. They were so attached to him. They felt their necessity of him. Oh, they breathed out so many prayers and so many sighs to be found in him. For these people, they are the sheep. They were separated in the counsels of God from all eternity. And now Christ, upon this throne, he sees all these people before him, and he begins to separate them. Have you been separated, my hearers? Have you experienced a separation in your life? Oh, when God separates, it's very close, believe me. Oh, there isn't anything closer than that. He separates a man or a woman from all the ties of nature, from all the things that you love here upon earth. Separates a man from his wife or a wife from a husband. Oh, there's no more ties of flesh when Christ comes. Oh, this separation is so close. He comes and he gives us a union with himself. And now here upon this throne, he reveals this separation. He comes and he chooses them and picks them out. Oh, have you ever contemplated that you would be there someday? And that you likewise will stand there? Oh, I've been there one time. And by the goodness of God, I condemned myself. And I said I would be on the left side. That's where I belong and that's what I deserve. But this great God, he spoke so to me in my very heart. And he says, I am the Lord thy God. Even in that day, he would be my God. And I could believe it. Oh, I couldn't find a place low enough to go, my hearers. What a mercy when God witnesses in our souls. When we are troubled, when we are concerned, how it will go with us in that great day. It's a personal matter, my hearers. It should be a personal matter for each and every one of you, how it will go with you. Because we're all going to be there. And oh, what a wonder it'll be. I would say, if any one of us are found in the right hand of Christ, it'll not be for any works of you. It'll only be because God has chosen you. God has loved you. God has separated you. It's by the grace of God that you will be found on the right side of Christ. The sheep were placed on the right side of Christ, and the goats were placed on the left hand. And now in this world, my hearers, the sheep and the goats, they're mingled together. And many times, a sheep is something like a goat and acts like a goat, and sometimes they live like a goat. You know, a sheep is a meek animal and it's teachable. This we find that they do not stand up or rebel. They go along with whatever they have to do. But a goat is entirely opposite. We find then the sheep are an emblem of the people of God, but the goats are the reprobates, the wicked, those that shall be placed on the left side of Christ. Oh, my hearers, so many of God's dear children have the nature of a goat that you wouldn't even say they are Christians. They don't resemble any Christianity whatsoever in their lives. Oh, they have so little of the Spirit of Christ in them, and they do not reveal this in their lives very much. But God knows them. God has made choice of them. In that day, they will be found on his right side, even though they did act so many times like goats. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, that we are one of those whom God has chosen. The goat shall be placed on his left side. And my hearers, this judgment, as I have been speaking, will be according to the judge that sits upon the throne. He has been appointed by God for this glorious work. He will come as God and man in one person, and he will sit and refine the children of Israel as silver is refined, we hear. And we find that he likewise will judge every person. This is a wonderful work that has been given unto Jesus to do. This is the honor and the glory that God has bestowed upon him. And now when he comes in this way, then we find in the book of Revelations that he will judge everyone according to the books. For the books shall be opened. And when these books are opened, he will judge every person according to what is written in the books. My hearers, let me give you a little definition of the books that will be opened. The first book that I have on my mind is the book of God's omniscience, or God's remembrance. God has a wonderful mind. He has a wonderful knowledge, my hearers, a knowledge that you and I cannot fathom. Can you fathom that he knows your thoughts? You wouldn't dare tell anybody your thoughts, but he knows them. And now in that day, he's going to bring back before you and me every thought that we have thought. Oh, who can understand what God will do unto us? For he shall remember everything that we have done, and he shall bring it before us. Oh, he has an eye that seeth all things, and he has a wonderful mind, my hearers. The omniscience of God shall be displayed in this judgment, for he will declare unto man and woman what they have done in this life. And then he will likewise open the book of conscience. And you and I have a conscience. And this conscience witnesses to us when we do evil that we have sinned. When we do good, it favors us. It gives its approval. Now you and I have a conscience, and this conscience is the sense that we have of doing good and doing evil. But not only do you have a knowledge thereof, my hearers, but you have a knowledge of someone else likewise in this conscience. And who is that? None other but God. Because God is a witness to what goes on in our conscience. And God will open the book of conscience. Oh, my hearers, how many times have you gone over the top of your conscience? How many times has God witnessed in your very conscience that when you were going to do something that was sinful and evil, to refrain you from doing it, and you went over the top of it? Just think, in that day, God is going to open this up to you. Or your conscience will fly you in the face. You won't have anything to say. You will be mute. You will not dare to speak against what this judge shall proclaim unto you. Your conscience will be your very witness, for he will open it up again, and you will have to say yea and amen to what he is bringing forth. All this conscience, my hearers, is something that God has given us to keep us, to watch over us, to protect us even from sin and evil in this life. And to give you a little explanation of what this conscience is, oh, there have been criminals that have committed a capital crime. They've killed somebody, maybe 3, 4. And they fled. They got away. They weren't apprehended. But, oh, conscience began to gnaw. Conscience began to speak. They couldn't sleep day nor night. They had to come forward. They had to confess what they had done. Just think of this, my hearers. This is the way it's going to be in eternity. Your conscience, my conscience, is going to go open. It's going to be like a gnawing worm, declaring unto us that God is just and putting us where we are. Oh, we will have to say yea and amen to it. And now God will likewise open the book of providence. A wonderful book, my hearers. Our whole life, from our childhood to the day we die, God will open it up to us. The care, the kindness, the goodness, the love, the mercy, the protection that he showed to us, the many favors that he did to us, the afflictions, the troubles, the sicknesses, the pains that we went through in life, the many times that we cried to him in our troubles and he gave us relief, he heard us, he delivered us out of them. And these will all come up before us. The book of providence, a wonderful book. And that book will witness against us. It sure will. It is God that rules and regulates our lives. In him we live, we move, we have our being. And whatever we have in life, he has bestowed it upon us. And we are to use it to what? To our own glory? No, to the glory of God. And how have we used these things, my hearers? Oh, what a day that will be when this book shall go open. And we shall see how good God has been, and how forgetful we have been, how neglectful we have been. And oh, we have slapped him in the face so many times with his blessings. And there is another book that God will open up. What is that? Could you guess it? It's the book that I got in my hand here, this precious book. God will open up this book, my hearers. This is the book whereby you and I are going to be judged. Oh, my hearers, how many times have you heard out of this book the way of salvation proclaimed? How many of you have heard that sweet, that melodious sound of the gospel coming into your ears, speaking unto you, turn ye away from your sins. Jesus has come pleading with you to return back to him. And what have you done with all what you have heard? He came with the law. He came with the gospel. And how has it affected you? Have you slighted it? Have you neglected it? Have you made light of it? In that day, that book will be open. And he will question you and say, how have you listened now? Oh, my hearers, this book will condemn us. This book will judge us, my hearers. The book of Scriptures is a wonderful book. It's a book, my hearers, that every one of God's children love. Have you loved it? Have you found your life in this book, in this precious word? Have you ever taken this precious Bible and pressed it to your heart and say, oh, what a blessed book. It's the book that tells me that God loves me. It's the book that tells me that God has no wrath in store for me. Oh, how blessed are they that know something of the preciousness of this book, my hearers. And now there's another book that's going to be open. You would say, where do you get all these books from? I read in the book of Revelations that God will open up the book of life. And everyone whose name is not found in the book of life will be cast into that everlasting fire. The book of life. What's that? That's not my and your life. Oh, no. It's that book where the names of every one of God's children is written in. You remember when Jesus was on earth, the disciples were so overjoyed, they had went out preaching, and they came back and they said to the Lord, why, even the devils are subject unto us. But he says unto them, rejoice not over these things, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh, my hearers, this book then will be open, and the names of every one of God's children will be displayed there. Will your name be there? Will my name be there? You know, none of us can ever climb up into heaven and look in that book. Nobody ever did. And this book will be opened in that day. How will you know that your name is in that book? I believe there are sinners even amongst me whose names are written in that book. Let me take you back to Matthew 5. We have there Jesus speaking of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Or could I encourage some poor sinner amongst me who has been picturing himself on the left side of Christ, who after hearing this description of the books that shall be opened, feels himself condemned? Oh, I would encourage the feeblest spark of grace in the person's soul. If you have any of these characteristics that we find in this chapter, Matthew 5, your name is written in that book. If you are one of those that mourn and sigh and cry because of your sins, and you need Jesus to save you, then this is a sign in your favor, my hearers. Or if you are one of those that have no righteousness of your own, that you've been stripped of everything where you would build upon for eternity, and you see nothing else before you but the righteousness of Christ to save you, and you have been given to hunger and thirst after this righteousness, your name is in the book. Not because I say so. The Bible says this. Oh, what a mercy it'll be to be found in that great day, having your name in this book. My hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to speak in this chapter to those that were on his right hand. He said unto them, come ye blessed of my Father. They're blessed of the Father. They were the ones that the Father gave to Jesus. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundations of the world. Oh, who can understand what that kingdom is that God has prepared for those that love him? I would take you to the last two books in the Bible, the two chapters in Revelations, There we have a description of the city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for the groom. Oh, we find there written of this glorious city that it was paved with gold, and the streets likewise were of gold, and that no one would enter into this city that had done an abomination or had told a lie, but only those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A blessed city, my hearers. All this city had no temple in it, for God was the temple, and the Lamb was the light of it. There was no need of sun or moon in this city, for Jesus Christ would be the eternal light of this city. Oh, there was no need likewise of anyone that would be sick, that they would need anyone to treat them. For all sickness, all pain, all darkness would be taken away. Oh, this glorious city which we find described as a type of that glorious kingdom which is prepared for these poor sinners to whom Jesus speaks on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." They are then to inherit this glorious city. And now he begins to expound unto them something of what they had been given to do by grace. Because he says, "When I was a hungered, ye gave me meat. When I was thirsty, ye gave me to drink. And he says, when I was naked, ye clothed me. And when I was sick, ye visited me. When I was in prison, likewise, ye came unto me." And now you would think out of this description of what Christ says here, that it was for these things that they entered into heaven. No, my hearers, not one thing of these things gave them an entry into glory. It was the good works that they had done in this life by his grace and prompted by his Spirit that Christ brings forth before them. Oh, they had done these things out of the goodness and out of the love of their heart to the people of God. They found such an attachment to these people. They loved the brethren, and in and through this, they treated them as they would have treated their own soul. Oh, many in times past had done these things to various of the saints. When they were hungry, they fed them. When they were thirsty, they gave them something to drink. And when they were in trouble, when they were strangers and they had no place to lodge in, they found a place of lodging. And when they were sick and when they were in prison, they visited them. These things they had done outwardly, my hearers. And before all the world, Jesus commends them for what they had done. And now we could take this likewise spiritually. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has used his precious word, his ministers, his people, to the help and to the comfort of so many of his dear saints. Oh, if you have grace in your soul, then you have become hungry and thirsty at times. Oh, you've become so famished. Oh, you've been hungering and thirsting for a smile, for a kiss, for a token of God's love to your soul, that you may be strengthened in faith. And you've come up to the house of God, and in this condition the Lord has used a minister, or he has used the reading of a sermon, and it has been blessed to your soul, and you've been fed and you've been nourished. Oh, the Lord uses his people. They need each other. They must be a hand and a foot to each other, and they are so. Oh, many times, my hearers, when they are in that condition that we read of here, oh, that they are naked, and that they are in prison, and that they are sick, then sometimes they've got into a conversation with some of God's dear children. And unknowingly to the children themselves, who began to speak such comforting words to such, oh, the Lord used it. And they knew not that God had even used it. Many times a minister preaches the gospel, and he don't know who God is blessing it to, and they never repeat it back to the minister. But in that day, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will acknowledge unto those that are on his right hand, because ye have done these things, ye have done them unto me. It was as if he said, you did these things to my dear children. Well, I'm in my children. I live in my children. You did them to me. And they wondered, and they said, when did we do these things? They didn't even remember that they had done these things. They knew not when it had taken place. But he knew. He had a book of remembrance, and he brought it before them, and he acknowledged them before all the world. This is as far as I can go with this lesson to this day. My time is gone. My hearers, the Lord bless the feeble instruction given out of his word to your immortal souls. That's all for today.